Good morning, everybody. Super glad you're here. Beautiful day, beautiful music. You open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to continue on there. We're in chapter 3 today. And so for those of you who are just joining us, we're moving through the book of Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and kind of what we're looking at is the church in Thessalonica. Kind of what's going on, we see in the book of Acts, chapter 17, we see where Paul established that church. And of course, as with different churches where Paul established, he had a sort of this abrupt exit where he sort of got ran out of town or whatever. But then they did pretty well, and they thrived. And Paul sent this letter back to them, in fact, two letters, just commending them about how things were going. The first several sermons the past few weeks, we've looked at what was he commending them for, because we want to say, well, look, here's some things that were noteworthy on the Thessalonians, so we want to be like the Thessalonians. We want to have things that are noteworthy about us. Today is a little different. Today is he sort of wraps up that. If you look at 1 Thessalonians, it's almost like in three different sections, and you can follow these different prayers to get these different sections. Today's kind of wrapping up that first section where he's it's a prayer of thanksgiving for them, this whole, all the way up to this point. But it concludes with Paul giving them these instructions. And so today we're going to see these instructions where before it's been commending them about here's things that are about you that were really good. Yeah, hooray for you for doing these things. But today is going to have some instructions I think are so important for us, again, to just say, hey, these should be things that we do as a body of Christ so we can also be commendable and honor the Lord. So we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. So if you stand with me as we read God's word together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 11, says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for your precious word. I thank you that you have brought us together as a body of believers. Lord, I pray that this morning we'll be able to find out even more deeply what that means. But not only for our knowledge, Father, but for our transformation, that we'll just be change our hearts so we are more honorable and glorifying to you. So not only when we're together, but when we're away from our brothers and sisters, that we're bringing you glory with everything we say and everything we do. Be with us this morning and give us your spirit of understanding and discernment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So you may be seated. So I love how he starts this out where it says, you know, verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you." It reminded me this week, I had a friend that I worked with, if you guys don't know, I'm bivocational, so during the day, the cap I have on is I'm an industrial electrician, so I had this one job. I was working with this guy named Haywood. We called him Woody. And now Woody, he would say, "Bless you, brother," at least 100 times a day. That was like always coming off his lips, you know, "Bless you, brother, bless you, brother." So, and that's just one of the things he said, you know, and it's just that was the way he sort of spoke, which not for nothing, but if a Southern woman says "bless you," it may mean she wants to punch you in the throat. I'm just saying, y'all never know. But so we hear these Christian sort of terms thrown out there, and they don't always mean what they sound like they mean. And it's probably kind of simple to hear this opening. I'm like, man, this sounds like, you know, packaged Christianese. You know, he's like, you know, "No, may the Lord our God himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you," right? It just seems like this sort of Christianese things like you would just sort of just say to each other. However, when we look at this more deeply, I think what we find out in the context of this overall letter, it really has more meaning to that. And if you move back into, I'm just going to read through chapter 2, starting at verse 17. Let me read through that real quick. It says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope and our joy of crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy." don't think I'll follow the slides up there for you, but you know, hey, somebody, here you go, Tim. All right, so so when we see this, again, so he's talking also of them saying where he has this desire that God would lead them back to them. Of course, again, that was because what happened at the time. If you guys read in the book of Acts, we know that Paul was abruptly just ran out of town. He was saying, look, I desire that God would lead me back to you. So he really wants to see them. But then he moves on and he brings in this spiritual component. He says that the Satan hindered us. So he brings in this spiritual element. I want to be with you. I want to be back where you are. I hope God will lead me back to you. But this has been our desire, but Satan has hindered us from going back there. So this whole relationship has a spiritual element to it that we see that Paul's talking about. But then he sort of leads this and continues on where we just saw, where he talks about that you are a crown of boasting that the Lord Jesus is coming. See, why I think what we look at this, and this was, you know, it wasn't simply like, hey, we hit it off pretty well. I hope maybe, you know, we'll kind of hook up again. No, this was a very deep and spiritual relationship for Paul with his churches. He understood, like, you are my brother and sister in Christ, and to him that really meant something. We're on this journey together. We're in this kingdom mission together, and we're all sort of hoping for Christ's return, and all of this was sort of built into his relationship with the members of these other churches. So I think that's what, when we read this, we need to understand it's not simply this sort of wonderful thing that Paul sort of adds into his letter for flavor and for color. He really means it. I really hope that God brings me back to you. I hope it's that God himself will direct us back to you. It's not just simply like, you know, hooray, Paul, you have this love for each other. I think it's important for us to understand how he views the body of Christ. So when we see that and we understand that the depth of what Paul's talking about in the relationship, and we start to roll that to ourselves, we understand, like, well, that's how we should see each other, right? So when you say you're my brother or you're my sister, that means something. And not just in this church, it's worldwide. But then Paul, from that point of view, from making that statement and sort of making that connection, he moves on into the next verse, verse 12. It says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. So he's just stated, hey, I hope God and the Father himself, and he directs our way back to you, and talking about that relationship. Then he moves into talking about their love for each other. And now what he says about this love is he wants it to increase and abound. But of course, we understand that the target of this love is one another and all people. Now that's kind of important where he talks about this one another. We know all through Scripture, we understand about the importance that we have for this love for one another. In fact, I've said this before. I think it's so important where we see in Jesus' that high priestly prayer that you see, he says this long prayer before he is taken away to be crucified. And when he prays for the church, his prayer is that we love each other. In fact, what he says about our love for each other is in my words, a sort of paraphrase him, he says, look, this is a testimony that you're my disciples. The way you love each other is going to be a witness to everybody else about you. You're the real deal. So we know that this love is important, and Paul talks about it here, that we love one another and for all. But here's what I think is important where it starts maybe getting tough, is what he says about that love is that love is increasing, that the love is increasing. Now remember, Paul was talking about, we read there where Paul was talking about his concern that he had this deep love for them, he wanted to participate with them in the kingdom. But now when he talks about this love, he talks about it increasing. So our love at some point for each other, we can establish like, hey, we're Christians, we should love each other. But that love, this feeling in our relationship should be in an increasing measure. Let me just kind of tell you what I'm talking about. Now maybe you sort of get involved in a church and maybe there's some people you just sort of click with right away. And there's other person over here that, well, it's just, I like them, I accept them. You know, they're my brother and sister, but you know, and then you spend some time with them and you're like, well, I really got to know them in a different way, and I kind of accept them now as my brother and sister. The relationship kind of changed. I didn't really know them before, but now I do know them, and you're like, hooray for us and our relationship. This is totally cool. Then that is cool, but that's where it starts. Your relationship with all your brothers and sisters should constantly be increasing. That means we're never satisfied with how we're just being associated with each other. That's what Paul's, when he says increasing, he means increasing. That means that we're opening ourselves up and we have this deepening relationship. And sometimes it just means showing up for the things that are available. But it means that we kind of get in each other's business a little bit. That's kind of uncomfortable, right? But when he says increasing, that means we're not just associated with, we're not just comfortable with and okay with saying, well, they're a part of my church. You know, we go to church together. That's not what he's talking about. We can all kind of agree with that, amen? He's talking about this ever-deepening relationship that you have with all of your brothers and sisters. And he goes on and says, all. So you say, okay, this is kind of sound a little bit crazy, a little bit overboard. Well, don't just, it gets worse, right? Or better, however you want to look at it. Because how far do we take this? We understand it says increasing. Okay, we get that. It's clearly right there. It's not my words. It's right here. But how far do we take this thing? Well, it says that increasing in love and that it abounds in love. That we increase so much that we abound in love. Now, I looked this up just like a definition of abound. So when Paul says we should increase in love, okay, I kind of get what that means. But then how far do we take this? Here's just a couple of terms that were in definitions for abound. More than enough. Okay. Over and above. This is starting to seem like a little bit of work, right? Here's another one. We'll go beyond. Woo. That's getting serious now. Your love for each other is willing to go beyond whatever, right? Not my words. This is what Paul says. He has this prayer that you love will increase and abound. Here was the last one. Remain over. I was like, remain over? Man, this ain't no one-trick pony, y'all. This is like your life. You're going to have a lifestyle where you have this increasing love. And like, okay, how far do we take this? It's like, I guess there's no like, okay, I've arrived. I love my brothers and sisters the way I should. No, this is, I mean, when you go and he threw that word in there, abound, that just like opens everything up. That means that you have a different lifestyle and a different view of your brothers and sisters, and not just your brothers and sisters. It says all. Now, look, we can go back and forth. Does that all mean like, okay, all your brothers and sisters, even that one like everybody kind of has a hard time with, like all probably means that too. But, I mean, I think all means all, right? Well, you guys would say, if you're saved, Dennis kind of alluded to that. I say it all the time. If you are saved, you are a missionary. That's right. You're a missionary. We are called to take God's word all over the world, so we are called to love all people. And Paul is saying he wants us to love all people, and he wants our love to abound. So I think what the clear thing is this bar set pretty high, right? So what does this look like? I was thinking, well, this seems kind of intense. So what does that love mean? Because I could say, well, I love you, you know, I love you or whatever. And we know you use that word like for all kind of things. I talked about this yesterday. Thanks to my daughter-in-law, I love mac and cheese with hot sauce on it. I cannot no longer, thanks to that girl right there, eat mac and cheese without hot sauce. Don't give it to me. I love it. That's not the kind of love we're talking about here, right? So let's just go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13 kind of talks about love and what it says. Now, just keep in mind, Paul's telling us that we love an increasing measure to abundance. What does Paul say to the church in Corinthians about love? It says love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Right? Can't even keep up these slides. I'm just going to end. You guys got your Bibles. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. All is a big word, y'all. Amen? Love bears all things. Love believes in all things. Here's the thing I like about that, believes in all things. It's like, does that mean we're like gullible and just like follow whatever? No, love means that you're willing to, if you have a brother or sister, you love them, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, like, you're always just going to give, and that's, you know, unless you know there's a reason to doubt them, you're just going to assume that their intentions and their words are honorable. That's what it means. I believe in you, regardless of how many times you failed, regardless of how many times you fail me. I mean, I might be dumb, I'm not going to be dumb about it and just sort of set myself up for failure again, but I'm never going to lose faith in you because I love you. I'm always going to have faith in you. I'm going to have your back and pray for you. You can do this. I know you can do this. That's what that means. Love believes all things, hopes, where are we at? Yeah, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That word endures just means like you don't give up. And we don't. We don't give up on each other. That's kind of a big one with churches. I mean, when sometimes you get in this fight in a church and you just like leave the church. Now, there, you know, again, missionaries mean we move, right? We move around all the time. So God is probably going to call you to another church eventually, or maybe, I don't know, whatever. But when you're leaving just because you're in an argument, look, you need to handle that argument first. In fact, that's one of the things we do in this church is when people become a member of the church, and it's come up, and I just like have a conversation like, hey, what was going on in your last church? And sometimes you find out where they're leaving because of this big conflict. Now, I'm not going to tell them you can't be a member of this church, but I'm going to say, hey, look, you need to go resolve that conflict with your brother or sister because we're called to endure, and our love has to endure. You can't just, like, come over here with all that baggage. We don't need that baggage, right? We don't have a storage closet that big for everybody to bring their baggage. So when it says endure, that's what it means. I'm going to endure. You're always going to be my brother and sister, and I'm not going to give up on you because things get tough. You know, it's kind of like when this marriage, right, for better or for worse, sometimes it's for worse, and you have this marriage of sorts in a Christian, in a church, and sometimes it's for better or for worse, and sometimes it's for the worse, right? If y'all know what I'm talking about, sometimes it's for the worse. Maybe God will call you out of that, but we are called to endure and love each other. Of course, verse 13 that people are so familiar with, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the greatest. The Bible over and over, if you just do like a word search in the Bible for love, you better pack a lunch because it's all over the Bible, right? It's our greatest resource, it's our greatest connection, and it is our greatest tool, our greatest weapon is love. And look, that's kind of a weird thing because I'm like a guy, right? And it's just kind of all these touchy-feely emotional stuff is not all comfortable for me. But look, the more you read Scripture, that's what it talks about. It talks about love, and you got to kind of be comfortable with being a man and understand what love means and kind of sort of dealing with that emotion and what that means. So, in fact, when you read this, and when I was reading this, I was like, maybe you guys are like me. You think, wow, I don't know if I could do all of this. You're talking about love, and now you're talking about increasing love. Now we're talking about this abundance of love. And you go to the Corinthians, and I'm like, this call sounds kind of cool, but I know me. I really probably can't do all of this, right? How many of y'all feel like that, if you really think about love? Y'all do that? Maybe? Okay. I like that. I can't. I mean, maybe you don't like your pastor said that, but I love y'all, but this stuff's pretty deep. Well, here's the cool news is not to pass over this, but it says that may the Lord make you. There's a sign of hope here. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love. If you feel like I can't do this, I'm here to tell you, you can't. No, you're right. You can't love anybody the way the Bible tells you love them. Impossible. It's not in us, right? What this is talking about is that you open yourself up to it. You know, so if you know me, you know I am like decidedly an extrovert, right? So sometimes I'll tell my wife that I have some introverted tendencies, and that just promotes laughter in our home. They just laugh and make fun of me. So I'm clearly, decidedly this extrovert. There is time I want. It's like my alone time, right? I'm a little bubble. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about extroverts is you have a lot of relationships. You have very few deep relationships. Like, I know a lot of people, and I'll see your face, and I could see you again like 15 years from now, and I'll remember you. But I have very few deep relationships. That's just kind of the way extroverts oftentimes, not all the time, that's just kind of the way they're wired. This is telling me to kind of go again. No, I need to have these deepening relationships. I need to kind of slow down and get to know people more deeply and spend time with them and talk to them. It's not that I don't want to. It's just like, you know, I see something shiny. There's another person to talk to, and I'm off talking to another person somewhere, right? Katie's laughing. She knows. So that's just kind of what I'm saying is this is talking about not just having these surface level relationships. This is really talking about us getting to know each other, like outside of here. I mean, we all come together, we praise and worship, and you listen to me talk for 30 or 40 or an hour or whatever, you know, but I mean, but this is talking about us doing something beyond that. That's what this is saying. You get to know each other, and you pray for each other. Part of praying for each other also means you have to, you kind of open up and say, hey, this is what I need prayer for, right? So you got to sort of confess your sins. That's in the Bible. That's what this is saying. So all of this has to do with these deepening, ever-deepening relationships. So this is what Paul is saying. Look, Paul's saying, look, I want to come see you. I really hope God directs us to you. We are participating in the kingdom together, and I want to see you and encourage you and pray for you. But in the meantime, I want to really encourage you to have this deepening love for each other. And he goes all through all of that, what that love means. And then we get to verse 13. And verse 13 says, so that so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, it starts off with the word so that. Now, so we pause, right? So that means whatever he just said, all about love, it is sort of this gateway, if you will, this pathway. It leads to something. So his desire to come and see them, his desire to spend time with them, and his prayer that they have this love for each other, this increasing love that just has no limits, it's always increasing, is so that they may be established, he, the Lord, may establish your heart blameless in holiness. So all this has a purpose. So I don't know that I would say, like, our love for each other is the only way we can sort of reach that place of growth, that we have this, our hearts are blameless in holiness. But this is kind of definitely putting that, this is a part of that growth, if you want. You know, so your relationship with God is not just you. Your relationship with God has to do with your relationship with everybody else, right? So our gateway, our pathway to have this kind of growth and our personal relationship with God has to do with our relationship with everybody else. And then he goes on and says, blameless in holiness. Well, first off, just sort of thinking about our own responsibilities, we sort of pick that up in a minute. So right now, at this very second, because Jesus died on the cross, and because three days later he came out of that tomb, right now, as you're sitting in your seats, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your sins are completely forgiven. Where you once were headed to eternity in hell, you now, because of your sins have been forgiven, you are headed for eternity in heaven with God. And in fact, it says your sins are so far removed from God is that as far as the east is from the west, if you've accepted that gift of salvation, that is true about you right now. But that's kind of this, that's the start of your salvation. That's what you get at salvation. And so where you've been justified, and now we go through this sanctification, right? And the sanctification is what we do in life. From the moment of our justification, our sanctification is all of this growth. We become more and more Christ-like until one day when Jesus is going to return, that it talks about here, and then we'll be glorified. We'll have these new bodies. You go from justified to sanctified to glorified. That is the life of a Christian, as we look forward to, and that is our hope. So right now we are in this sanctification, and what Paul is saying is, I want you to have this, to be blameless in your holiness. I want to think about that for a minute, because that is so monumentally huge when you think about blameless in holiness. When you talk about the holiness is an attribute of God. All right, it's one of his attributes that he is just holy. In fact, God is so righteous and so holy. Moses said, "Hey, I really want to see you." God said, "Well, you can't see me because you know you could not. It'd kill you, basically. Right? You cannot do that because his radiance is so enormous. In fact, in Revelations it says that there's going to be a need for a sun and a moon because heaven will be lit up by the radiance of God's glory. He is a holy God." There's two different times in Scripture where I know where in Revelations, and one is in the Old Testament. I'm forgetting the reference now. But anyway, there's two different times in Scripture where it talks about you sort of peek into heaven and you see the angels praying to God. And what they say is, "He is holy, holy, holy." That's their prayer over and over again. They're praying about God's holiness. And so, you know, when in biblical language, they don't have punctuation, but the exclamation point on something is they repeat it. So it's noteworthy to say God isn't just holy. He's not holy, holy. He is holy, holy, holy. And now here Paul is bringing down that same language, saying, look, this is what I want for you. I hope that you are blameless in holiness. Y'all, that is absolutely unattainable on our own power. Amen? We can agree with that. That's what Paul's desire is for us, is that we are blameless in holiness. What this all kind of comes down to is we have this realization, and Paul is bringing into this language that we are being prepared to be in the presence of our God. We are being prepared to be able to be presentable to Jesus, who's going to come down through the clouds with his armies. We're going to meet him in the air, and we are being made to be presentable to our God and our Lord and our Savior. That's what this is. This is what's happening, right? And that seems like a very personal thing, and it is a very personal thing. Like, you, your relationship with Jesus is personal, right? You're not going to be saved because your family's saved. You're not going to be saved, you know, because you were born in a Christian household. You're not going to be saved because you come to church and listen to me ramble on for 30 minutes every Sunday. Your relationship with God is a personal relationship. Your faith has got to be in Jesus Christ, a personal faith. But it's not only you. You're not on an island. All of it, we need each other. See, when I think about this, and I get so excited about what I'm being prepared for, that I'm being prepared to be in the presence of God, and it is so amazing, but it's also kind of intimidating. But then when I think about all this, I think, like, you know, this is why you have to be a member of a church. Do you think you can do any of this by yourself? There's no way. Just the way the Bible, now when you talk about that, it's like, it's not like, you know, thou shalt not, you know, not be, you know, it's like one of those sort of things. And you're going to like to pick up the Bible and say, well, look right here, and, you know, so-and-so book and verse and chapter, whatever, you have to be a member of the church. No, I'm not, it doesn't say that. But when it talks about the things that God wants for us, and the things he desires for us, and the plan he has for us as a body of Christ, what becomes so clear when you take that seriously is I can't do this on my own. For one, I need the love and support of my brothers and sisters. But secondly, I need to be challenged, my brothers and sisters. I need to, so for me to learn how to love at the level and the depth that the Bible talks about loving is I need to be able to open myself up to people that maybe I don't necessarily click with and learn to love them anyway. To come alongside and praise our God and our Lord and Savior with people that really have nothing in common with me other than the fact that we both have the Holy Spirit anointing us. That's the only, and then that's where it stops. But you learn to love that person. I need to take the risk of going through life and having these moments where this conflict comes up, and I'm going to just stay in there because, you know what, you're my brother or you're my sister, and I'm not going to give up on this relationship because I love you. And the Bible says it's worth it, and I think you're worth it. Man, you learned so much from that. I'm not saying, like, start fights in the church. Please don't do that, right? But there is some value in that. There are times I've had it and where people just kind of come and go, but you know, I've had certain people in the church that they will just, like, every Sunday, I can tell they're in the back there, and they're going to say something about my sermon. Every Sunday, they're going to have a question about my sermon. And, I mean, but you know what? I needed them. Because I knew, like, I can't slack off because they're going to call me on it, right? That helped me. And it would help you, too, to know somebody's going to be there, like, calling you out sort of thing. Like, they say, like, who, you know, like, if you're, you know, they see you doing something that you know is not something you should be doing, like, you know they're going to say something, right? Or you're at the grocery store and they're going to come up, like, I'm telling you, you meet a church member in a grocery store, they're going to look in your basket. Just saying, they're going to check out your basket. You just need to know, right? But you open yourself up to stuff like that. And, I mean, that's what being a family is about, right? Not that we're judging each other. There are some people that, look, it's just, I mean, they're just wired the way they're wired. And they're just sort of hyper, or they're just depressed all the time. Or they're just, I mean, whatever it is, like, that's just the way they are. And that's cool. So all of this just sort of, I mean, so the term now is like doing life together. That's cool. I try to stay away from these sort of prepackaged catchphrases or whatever. That really is kind of what this is talking about, is like we are a family. And what I hope you guys, when you guys hear me say we're a family and we're a body of Christ, I hope you hear what I hear or what God is teaching me to hear when you hear something like that. And the thing is, it's not just even this church. It could be that, again, it's a church down the street or in the next state or in the next country. Or the next continent. Like, those are our brothers and sisters. And we should be praying for them. So when you look on the news and you see, like, these things that are happening, going to seem like sort of biblical things, where you have these horrible stuff happening to people because they're Christians. We have some people here, some of our church members who are from Myanmar. You guys know what sort of horrible things are happening in Burma and Myanmar? It's awful. And some of that is simply because they love Jesus. We should be praying for them. We have, you guys may not know this or not, and it's okay if you don't, but in this area, we have like this high concentration of refugees that get brought to this area. That's just one of the places where they bring them. In fact, Dolly is right now, she's, what is it, June fourth or fifth, she's going to Liberty to learn ESL. And what we're talking about is maybe we can provide English as a second language here for the refugees, that so they don't have to like get in a bus and go all the way downtown or wherever it is. They can just come here. We've done that before. We've had job interviews for this population of Syrians. They were like all Muslim, right? But they came here because they're looking for a job. So there's things that we can do, right? And these people come over that are some of them are Christians. We have this population of Congolese. There are a lot of them are Methodists, but they're Christians. And they come here, you talk to them. They're just like, they put them like a couple, like maybe a mile down the road. And so I'm just saying, like, all of these are brothers and sisters. And so we need to think about this kingdom kind of mindset as Christians. We can't just simply be closed in this box and want church to just only be fun or only be safe. Because they are our brothers and sisters, we're going to spend eternity with these people. Eternity. You better get yourself straight now, man. If you have something about your brother or sister you don't like now, you'll spend eternity with them, right? I mean, if it's sort of like, well, I can't say in-laws, so I love my in-laws, right? But I mean, you all know what I'm saying. If it's like that crazy uncle, whatever, is coming over for Christmas, you're like, look, I can deal with it for like a week, right? So if you have somebody in the church that you feel that way about, I'm just saying, it's going to be more than a week, y'all. You're going to be with them forever, forever. Amen? So I think this is Paul's, this is what he's saying, guys. Saying, look, I want to see you. I have this desire to be with you so I can encourage you and pray for you. He talks about this love we have for each other, and we understand as Christians, this is for a purpose. This is where it's going. And if you want to grow in your relationship with God, and you want to say, look, I want to honor Christ with my life, that is going to mean that you sort of get into a church and you get plugged in, not you just doing stuff and having this activity, but you get to know the people you're worshiping with, like know them, know their faults and then celebrate their victories and pray for them. Look, I got faults, y'all, I'm telling you, I need some prayer. But that's what I want to, as we continue to go through Thessalonians today, that's what I'm challenging you with. And I hope that this is the church where you'll do that. But look, we in a military town. I mean, military, we come through all the time, man. We're constantly seeing people going through, and we send them off as missionaries. Some of you guys saw about a month ago. We prayed. There was a couple. They was moving because they're in the military. We prayed for them. We sent them off like they were missionaries because that's what they are. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you to simply not come to church just to be coming to church. Come to church because you have been called to something bigger and better. You've been called to be preparing. God wants to prepare you for his arrival. And we're all a part of that. And that's what we're called to do. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Lord, as we just move through this sermon, even sort of rapidly, Father, I really pray that these few simple truths, they're so simple to understand and comprehend, but Father, I know that the depth of these truths are amazing. So I pray, Father, that as we all leave this place, as we walk out from here, that we are pondering and thinking, not just in our own self, Father, but you'll bless us with your spirit to give us this enlightenment and understanding about what these things mean. That you will change us, Lord, that we will love each other as we should. This ever-deepening love for one another. And that you'll condition us for the kingdom. But you'll do it as a body of believers. And you'll do it in a way that glorifies and honors you. Father, if there's anyone here today that maybe that's where they're stuck at. Maybe this morning they're like, you know what? Well, I'm actually stuck with my relationship with God. I want to have this relationship with these people here in my church. I want to have this relationship with them, and I want to be a part of something so much bigger than me. But they know in their heart right now, they know that the relationship with you is broken and has not been fixed. Father, I pray that right now you give them the courage to step into that relationship, to accept that forgiveness that you have offered them. And Father, from this point, there will be that new creation that you talk about in your word. And this will be a life-changing day for them. They'll never be the same. And they will also be a part of our family. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?